Sound Radio. Sound Radio.
Hello, and I'm Paul. And today we're going to talk to Chief Inspector Andrew Williams and Kerry Lee Adam Lewis. A long, long name, that.
It is a long name.
Long names. So, let's go to the boss first. Chief Inspector, tell us a little bit about what you do and how it relates to the areas, North Wales coast.
Yeah, good afternoon. As you've said, I'm Chief Inspector Andrew Williams. I've been in the police for approximately 24 years now, and over the last, just came to Denbighshire as the County Chief Inspector for the area. I'm based in Rhyl. Now, part of my role also includes responsibility for Abergele, Towan and Kimnal Bay. There's a little bit of an oddity in terms of the central division, so whilst I am the Chief Inspector for Denbighshire, I also cover this area as well.
Is that because it all happens around here, around the coast?
No, it's just the force boundaries in terms of how the district areas are being split up. So the Denbighshire coastal area, if you like, covers the coastal strip, the belt from Prestatyn down towards Abergele.
Okay, that's great. And Kerry, what do you do?
I'm Kerry and I'm the PCSO for Kimmel Bay. So I'm out and about in the community, do a number of roles in the community. Could be identifying vulnerable people, partnership working, it could be reassurance visits, house to house, lots more.
So you get everywhere. So you're the eyes and ears on the community. And you keep them, because a lot of crime now doesn't take place in the community, does it? It takes place online, it takes place all over, and so that must be very difficult when deploying resources across the board.
Yeah, it certainly is a challenge. I firmly believe, and you will have heard on a national basis as well, that the Safer Neighbourhood team or the community police officer and PCSO are hugely valuable and essential part of policing, because they are, as you referred to, the eyes and ears of the community. And when they establish those relationships with the public and people who work and live and visit the communities, then people get to trust them and know them and talk to them. And that has got to be the core bedrock of policing.
Yes, it is part of the community, isn't it? It's being
Absolutely.
Part of the community.
Absolutely.
So how can the community support the work of the police and keep themselves safer? Because it's about personal responsibility as well, isn't it?
It is, and like I've already alluded to, that trust and working relationship and the building of that working relationship is essential. That's some work for us to do to convince people to subscribe to that idea. But there are some real things that members of this community and other communities that I am in charge of, and indeed my colleagues are in charge of across North Wales, can assist us with. And in particular, issues like the nighttime economy. I am very passionate about supporting licensees and local businesses to create what is not only a safe environment, but somewhere that actually feels safe, somewhere that people want to be, want to come. And there are some very real steps that people can take in assisting us with that, and we can support each other.
And that must be very difficult, because people go out, they have a good time, some of them have a drink, and some of them have a drink too much.
That's right.
And their capacity is severely impaired, to say the least, sometimes.
I think you're right, and you hit the nail on the head for me. When people have excess alcohol or consume excess alcohol, being very general, they fall into two categories. One, they can make themselves extremely vulnerable. They can become victims of crime very easily. Or they can become very unwell. And alternatively, they can all of a sudden lose any inhibition and become aggressive and violent. And that's what we see, the two sort of sides of the spectrum, if you like. Licensing in particular is an extremely responsible position in society. Licensees are retail sellers of a drug in our society that causes arguably more problems than any other drug put together, really. And therefore, all I require from them is to work with me and adhere to their responsibilities under the respective legislation.
And that sort of falls into the local town councils, the local, the local authorities in terms of how they do things. And also we've got a working plan, an engagement process for Real At Present.
Yeah.
Quite interesting. And it's interesting about how Real It is either going to be a black pool where you have lots of stand and hen parties all coming in, or it's as a sort of beach town as people thought of it in the past, where you could bring your children, bring your families, have a drink by all means, but then all go home safely.
I'll be really honest, I am alive to the regeneration plans of Real in particular, and I am really positive about what the plans are. We've already seen some of them coming to fruition as with the building projects that are ongoing at the moment. But what I am very keen to stress, and the partners that we work with agree, is that whilst we can put up buildings, it's very important to have the right environment as well. And I think that's where policing plays an extremely important role in that overall regeneration strategy.
And that is about being seen about, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I'll make no bones about it. I think policing in general, probably countrywide, I'm being very general, but probably countrywide over the last years with the various demands and the well-publicised difficulties with financial constraints, policing has probably withdrawn to a certain degree from licensed premises. You don't often see, and I think most people would agree, you don't often see police officers in licensed premises much anymore. One thing we are doing in Real and the surrounding areas, and then it will spread to the rest of Denbighshire, is reversing that trend. So we are there to support licensees, and the emphasis for me is on support. I just want to support licensees and business people in running a safe establishment. And I think there's no doubt about it, when the police are seen, and customers and licensees should expect to see the police in their premises. And when they are seen, I think that gives a strong sense of reassurance and deterrent.
Moving on from people who go out just for an ordinary drink and people whose health is impaired because of they become alcoholics, they spend a lot of time during the day drinking. How is policing, modern policing, managing that side of licensing?
That's about strong, strong partnerships. That's about working together with other agencies, third sector organisations that can assist people who have difficulty, like you've alluded to, with alcohol addiction. There is a very much in North Wales in particular, but policing as a whole, there is an approach to coming in over the next sort of few months that we're going to be more a problem-solving organisation, whereby we take ownership on a local level. Kerry and her colleagues take ownership for issues, as opposed to perhaps what we've done in the past by filling in forms and passing it to other agencies. There is a need, I feel, to grip a problem and know which third sector organisations, which other partner and statutory agencies are available to help with a person or a family in need. I think gone are the days that the police are only crime fighters. We are now a part of a public sector agency, and I see a lot of positivity in that one team approach, and I think it's great from a public sector point of view, but in terms of the service delivery to the end user, I think it can only be more efficient going forward.
And I think that is happening. It is happening slowly. We are being approached by those partnership agencies. I've been approached twice this week to do joint visits in terms of identifying vulnerable people and protecting them. So it is happening.
And that's a difficult one because it's very time consuming, that, isn't it?
I think I would challenge that from the point of view that in the past we have probably gone in at the high level of the continuum of care, if you like, whereby it is extremely demanding when you've actually got to the stage where somebody has gone past the point of crisis. Mm. I think if you intervene early with partner agencies, and actually you reduce that demand significantly down the line. So on a long-term vision here, I think the demand on agencies will decrease.
I mean, that's going to be quite interesting how that works in practice, isn't it? Yeah. Because there is a whole culture about moving things off your desk and passing it on to someone else.
There is. Well, there has been.
There has been. And I would suggest that in some agencies that's still going on.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't disagree. And I think culture doesn't turn around overnight. Culture is fed from the top of organisations, and not just mine, but organisations across the public sector. There is a will and a desire to look at things differently, to work very much more on a local level in gripping problems early, to actually stop them hitting that end continuum whereby it's gone too far and actually we've failed a particular family or person. We want to stop that happening in the first place.
That's good, because in the past, that has really just kept to a roundabout with diminishing
revolving doors.
Yeah. And just sort of pushing people around. So alcohol and drugs must come along with that as well.
Yep.
Because there, it is known that there's been quite a few drugs in the area.
Yeah.
How is that progressing? How is that keeping people safe? Because drugs actually, you hear about the glamorous side and all the rest, but there's some very vulnerable people out there who take drugs for a whole range of different reasons. So how are the police sort of contacting them?
You touch upon very important issues and very live risks to policing and other agencies in today's modern society. The County Lines issue that is facing us is well publicised in the media, and we are, as an organisation, very alive to that. As with everything else when it comes to drugs, there is an absolute requirement. Again, we come back to, and I make no apology in coming back to, the eyes and ears of the community, the community officers on the ground, the PCSOs, but in particular in relation to County Lines and the vulnerability, we need people to tell us, we need people to talk to us, because these individuals come in from the cities and they will target vulnerable people. They will either take over their houses or they will get them running drugs for them. And communities will know that's happening. They will know that's happening.
But how did they report it? How did they actually say, OK, I've seen someone with the little Nike bag running around, seeing different people. We see them. We know what they're doing. How then do people report to the police?
On a very practical level, you know, you can, on a very practical level, ring the police, or you can ring Crime Stoppers, which is often put out. But you know, and I'm alive to the fact that people are very nervous about doing that. But that is why, again, I'm going back to the importance of the visible neighbourhood policing team being seen out on the streets and establishing that relationship of trust, because trust and respect is so important in this. Mm. And without the police officers and PCSOs there on the street, then that relationship is very difficult to cultivate. So unless that trust is there, then it is very hard. I accept that. And we've got some work to do in making sure that visibility is there. And we've invested of late in our neighbourhood teams to make sure that facility is expanded, or at least where it should be and hasn't been for some time. That is going to change around soon.
So, Kerry, how have you been doing it? Do you go and talk to people in the street? Are you the sort of open person who will just go and discuss something in the street? Or how do you do? How do you develop that relationship?
Yeah, very much so. I've been in the job 5 years now. I've been based from Abergele for 2 and in Kimmel Bay for just over 1. I think in a short period of time, I've got to know a lot of the community. I'd like to say they know who I am. They're happy to approach me with issues. They're happy to pass on that intelligence. So it is about being out there, having a chat, building up a trust, letting them know that it's okay for them to say things, to tell me stuff, and I can act upon it. So it's just about building relationships in the community.
There is no doubt, just to support what Kerry's saying, there is no doubt that when the police and the PCSOs are seen out and about on the streets, that people will talk. I've experienced that myself. Mm. And when I've been out on foot patrol in the very short time that I've been here, people speak to me. So that I am confident and very positive that those relationships are doable in terms of building up those relationships. Kerry, as you've said, Kerry has been here 5 years and has got a good foundation and good working relationships with a lot of people, and I'm very aware of that. So it doesn't always have to be the individual that always makes that first contact. Kerry may hear via a number of sources, and then all we need to do then is do our own bit of work in the background to confirm that.
And that I can understand that very much with local communities, but we have a massive transient population coming through to this area. We've got great facilities. We've got a few caravans dotted all over the place. Everywhere's got a caravan. And actually, there's a lot of money coming through. If you look at the caravans and you look at the price of the caravans, the amount that people are paying to stay in the area, there's a lot of money coming in and out, and there's a lot of people coming in and out from the major cities who like to come near the coast for the weekends, for the weeks, for the holidays, for all sorts. So how do you manage that relationship, that type of policing?
That is difficult. There are real challenges with that. We're not unique. I'm sure many other seaside towns around the UK experience similar issues. My colleagues who work in St Asaph, detective colleagues, work with other agencies to, again, engage the caravan park owners in particular and the people that own the licences to establish a relationship whereby we are as aware as we possibly can be of who's on the caravan parks at any particular one time. As you've already referred to, that is really difficult, particularly with some of the caravans are privately owned.
Yes.
However, that is not deterring us. We have some dedicated groups that are looking how best to manage that situation. But it is hard. I'm not going to pretend that it's not.
And you go on to caravan parks. Gary, when you're going round, do you pop round all the caravan parks?
I've been on there just before I came here today, actually, to talk about Caravan Watch. So that's a meeting where all the site managers will come together to discuss any emerging trends, look at solutions, just touch base with who's doing what. So we will drop in on those meetings where we can feed back to them. They can ask us any questions, just about everybody keeping in touch with each other. So they are taking place.
And local schemes of that nature are key to this. And again, I'm not making any apology. Everything comes down to the root of that community relationship building, of which clearly Kerry has and colleagues in a similar position.
We have a society that doesn't value community as much as it used to. I say as used to because I can't remember when it did, really. But I think it is, I've been with other groups where community is very, very solid. And so almost everyone knows everything else that's going on. How do we foster this in our area, that this identity of sort of joint relationships, joint community?
I think you raise a really good observation. And up until very recently, I would have wholeheartedly agreed with you. However, I have been really buoyed of late, particularly in relation to RIL, I have to say, in terms of, as we've touched upon before, the regeneration strategy. Virtually everybody I've spoken to on a professional level, as well as speaking to people on the street, have a real desire to make their area better. And when I look at social media, perhaps in the not too distant past, you would be having people with very detrimental views expressed in relation to the local area and who live here. However, that flavour is now changing, and when we see that and the dynamics of those communications in particular, people are starting to become actually defensive about their area and are saying and are actually challenging people who are having a go at their area. So I think the answer to your question, whilst it's difficult, just trying to put a simplistic slant on it, as long as individuals have the same desire to push in a particular direction, then I think you're onto to something then. I really do think you're onto something. And I have been really encouraged by the positive attitude and drive and commitment that I've seen in RIL of late.
I like Rhyl. I really like Rhyl. I live in Rhyl. I wanted to live in Rhyl. And
I wanted to come here. So
and
I'm
you
glad
wanted to,
be,
to come here.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes. And it is a great place. And there are lots of derogatory terms used by all sorts of people. But I think if that's the best you can do, well, so what?
And I think I am really, and I, as I say, I've been buoyed by the positivity because I think we can turn that around. I know when I was a wee slip of a lad, which was some time ago, and going out in Rhyl was seen as the in thing to do, having a whether it be out with your family in the day or out with your friends at night, it was a great place to go. Now, you know, call me over-optimistic, but I don't think it is. I think we can get back to those days, and I think that coupled with the strategy of what the funding that is being put into the regeneration of that town in particular, I think there are positive times ahead. I really do.
I see many positives. I mean, just not least because people are actually putting money in. But that's not about community, is
it?
So much. That's just about people putting money in and potentially taking it out, because there's a lot of low-paid jobs, low-level jobs, and that must be very difficult for people to join community when they're working every hour that God sends them for a minimum wage, and then they go back, and then they've got all the other family issues and everything else that comes on top.
But there is no doubt, I think, and I think you're right, and I'm not deliberately glossing over that, but I think there is no doubt that environment creates positivity. If you've got a nice environment, you create positivity, you create a good feeling of well-being, and the area starts to come up gradually over time. If you look at cities, some cities around the country, Liverpool, many years ago, had very similar problems in terms of deprivation. However, Liverpool city centre now is fantastic. You know, there's had a lot of investment there. Even the areas around the city centre, they've put a lot of investment in, and the general feel of the place starts to rise, and people start to take pride in where they are living, and then the whole community spirit is fostered as a result. Now I am condensing years into 10 seconds of conversation there. I understand that culture and environment takes time to come to being, but when you actually see it starting, when you feel it starting, and policing's part in that, I think is crucial in creating that environment. I don't want anybody to walk down Rhyl High Street or Kimball Bay Strip or Tarrant and feel unsafe or feel worried about their personal security. So I have got a job to do to make sure that environment is contributing towards that wider strategy.
I mean, the things that seem to annoy people are everything from sort of dogs fouling and the disrespect that goes along with all of that, and to parking, to not the big mega crime things.
No, you're
it's the little respect things that seem to be most annoying to people.
Absolutely, and that's well documented in literature down the years. You know, the famed broken windows theory in New York several years ago talks about environment, and then we moved to a position of environmental audits too. So you're absolutely right. If the place, little things occur in a place, then the whole area becomes has this depressed feeling. So it is very important that, and you know, in relation to nighttime economy in particular, I think policing has a huge part to play, but in relation to just in making that environment better, policing has a massive part to play as well, together with other agencies.
Because we do want to get people out, don't we?
Yeah,
we want to actually move them from the box, get them to
breathe in the fresh air.
Get the fresh air, actually mix with other people who they may have a great deal to do with.
Absolutely.
And actually create community.
You know, we live in we're very fortunate to live in North Wales, in one of the most beautiful areas in the UK. And there is so much to see and do. In the local area, let alone around North Wales. So I agree with you completely when you say that we want to make it a better environment for people to actually want to go out and get away from that square thing in the corner of the room.
It is, because it's... And interestingly, I was over in a place called Haarlem a couple of weeks ago, over in Holland. And there, actually, everyone was on the cycle.
Yeah.
They were all on the bicycles. What was even more interesting, they had the kids on the back, they had the kids on the front, they had a little bucket in the front where they had the kids sitting down, and they were all driving, not many cars, but the cars were there, especially mine, and they were all there. So a mother with a sort of just a few months old baby clung to its front, bicycling along, thinking nothing about it. And I was thinking, when will that happen around the North Wales coast?
Yeah.
When will we feel it's safe for people to actually just take the cycles out, get the fresh air, not be worried about cars, be happy about that environment that's not polluted? And
well, I 100% agree with you there as well, because I happen to be a keen cyclist. So,
yes,
you've got me on side there completely. But Holland in particular, they set a blueprint, I think, for most of Europe in terms of their attitude towards cyclists. They are well renowned for having those strong networks of cycle paths, off-road routes.
And on-road, I mean, this was centre of
a big
town, and sort of everyone there on the cycles, and lots of places all just for cycles.
Yes, and yeah, I'd love to see the UK like that in a period of time. And I think on a national level, there's a desire definitely to increase those open spaces. As to how quickly that materialises, we'll wait and see, I suppose.
Yes, sort of a lot of fitness. So, police, you're very enthusiastic about what's happening. You're looking towards getting that community. You're
very
looking
much
to
so.
Be part of that community, and that's what it says to me.
Very much so.
That the PCOs and everyone is part of that community and not afraid to speak about something.
No, absolutely. And you know, again, I'll sort of end as to where I started, really, that community policing, which I think over the years has perhaps suffered, and the UK as a whole. I think there is a cognizance that we need to get back to that very, very quickly. And I think we in North Wales have recognised that significantly, and that's what we're doing, that's what we're putting in place.
That's great. And just a final thing, have all your officers got bicycles?
Have they all got bicycles?
Yes, to go around and be seen.
No, I don't think they have. No. But I would encourage my officers to get out on a bike anyway, at any time. But in terms of when they're on duty, no, they haven't.
No.
But I'll take that feedback.
It is quite interesting, because I remember I was with a group of police officers, and I remember them saying, we've been given bikes.
It was some time ago, I do.
It was some time ago. Yeah, and they said, we've been given bikes. He said, this is a new initiative. And the older ones were saying, well, perhaps it's not that new.
Yeah, it's been around for a while, I think, hasn't it? Yeah.
But that's great. Anyway, thank you very much for talking.
Very welcome.
I hope we'll sort of come again.
Absolutely.
And we'll do a little bit more.
Yeah.
And because there's the whole range of issues, everything from modern slavery to organised crime.
Yes.
So a whole range of other things that are happening in the area. But actually, it's a good community.
It is.
That makes it all and makes it all right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a real good feeling for the future.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Sound Radio Wales podcast on iTunes, and you can find them on our website at www.soundradio.wales/podcast.